Some things can be taken for granted, and some things can't. I'm currently reading a book by David Wells. Some of you would be familiar with him from Gordon Conwell Seminary. And in the recent statistics, he says that if you measure an evangelical by the standards of believing that God's Word is inspired and inerrant, that one must be born again in order to be saved, and that salvation is by virtue of Christ and Christ alone, then somewhere between 4% and 7% of America is evangelical. Just on those three standards. What that means is, in our society, an awful lot goes unsaid. And so I thought this morning, especially as Christmas is upon us, that it would be most fitting to go back and simply rehearse what the Word of God said about Christ's coming. So I'm going to read for you this morning. And I've given you an outline. And the outline is, if you want to do this on your own or if you want to follow along, but we're just going to take all of the Gospels and weave them together and go through the Christmas account with the fullness that's there, and let the unsaid things come to the surface again. So if you're tired from last night, you can close your eyes and you can relax. And I'm not going to preach. I will make one or two very sparing comments. But what I want to do today is just read the Scripture to you with the fullness of what it tells us about our Savior and His coming. It begins with Luke's preface and dedication, Luke 1:1-4. And he makes this note for us, since many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as the original eyewitnesses and servants of the Word handed them down to us. It also seemed good to me, having carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. John then introduces the subject matter to us in John 1:1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me has surpassed me because he existed before me.' For we all have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses." Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, He has revealed Him. Now the announcement of John the Baptizer's birth in Luke 1, 5 through 25. John, Jesus' precursor. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, according to all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or beer, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." "How can I know this?" Zechariah asked the angel. "For I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept making signs to them and remained speechless. And when the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace from among the people." Now comes the announcement of the birth of Jesus, Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now, in the sixth month, so this is when Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by the statement and was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Just a quick note, the miraculous conception of Jesus and his birth to a virgin mother was just as puzzling for Mary as it is for most of us today. But God did not give Mary or us a medical explanation. In some strange or mysterious way, God would overshadow Mary by his Spirit to bring about this miraculous conception. Once formed in Mary's womb, Jesus was born through the normal process that brings children into the world. And this tells us that from the very beginning, Jesus had two natures. The divine nature as God's Son was joined with a human nature in Mary's womb by a direct act of the author of all creation. God is not limited in his work by our limited understanding. Verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I've not been intimate with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the Holy Child to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider Elizabeth your relative. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." "Consider me the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. Now Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth in Luke 1, 39 through 56. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is your offspring. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." And Mary said, this is often called the Magnificat, Mary's song, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our forefathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Then she returned to her home. Luke 1, 57 through 66 is the birth of John. "Now the time for Elizabeth to give birth was completed, and she bore a son. Then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her this great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to call his name Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, 'No, he will be called John.' Then they said to her, 'None of your relatives has that name.' So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' They were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was freed, and he began to speak, praising God. fear came upon all those who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand was with him." Now Zechariah prophesies at the birth of his son, Luke 1:67 through 80. This prophecy comes in two portions, one regarding his son John and the other regarding Christ. But first he deals with Christ. "Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old. Salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. He has granted us that, having been rescued from our enemies' clutches, we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days.'" And now the focus on John. "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of our God's merciful compassion, by which the dawn from on high will visit us, to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew up and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Now, Jesus' genealogy is traced through Joseph in Matthew 1:1-17. I won't read all of the genealogy. The historical record of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. Isaac fathered Jacob. Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers. Judah fathered Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Aram. Aram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. And Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered King David. The purpose of Matthew's genealogy here is to firmly establish Jesus' right to the throne of David, to be a rightful king of Israel. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the exile in Babylon, 14 generations, and from the exile to Babylon until the Messiah, 14 generations. Luke also records a genealogy in 3:23-38. I won't read all of that either. But Luke's genealogy is recorded to show us the completeness of Jesus' humanity, that he's truly one of us, that he is qualified to represent us as our great high priest. In Luke 3:23, "And as he began his ministry, Jesus was about 30 years old and was thought to be the son of Joseph, son of Heli." And then I'm going to drop down almost to verse 33. "Son of Judah, son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, son of Terah, son of Enos, son of Seth, son of Adam, son of God." Joseph receives a dream in Matthew 1, picking up in verse 18. The birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. So Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, quote, See, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us, close quote. When Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel had commanded him. He took his wife home, but he did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Jesus' birth now in Luke 2, 1 through 7. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, it happened that the days were completed for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, good news to the shepherds in 8 through 20. Now, in the same region, shepherds were living out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for you see, I announce to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, because today in the city of David was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It is significant that shepherds at this time in history were reputed as of being such low account that they couldn't even give testimony in a court of law. And that's who God chose to carry the good news to the world. It's the truth that was important. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Jesus' circumcision and his naming in Matthew 1 and in Luke 2. Luke 2:21, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And now his presentation as an infant in the temple. Luke 2:22. When the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The law notes that that sacrifice was the sacrifice of the poor, ones who could not afford a lamb. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and praised God and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, serving God night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about Him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The wise men visit, Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written through the prophet, quote, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Close quote. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and learned from them the time when the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, quote, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." Close quote. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Jesus and the family then flee to Egypt, Matthew 2. After they, the wise men, were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, quote, out of Egypt I called my son, close quote. Herod's response in slaughtering the children, Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. The wise men had first seen the star somewhere near 2 years earlier. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, quote, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they were no more, close quote. After a time, Jesus and the family returned to Nazareth, Matthew 2:19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, because those who sought the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and entered the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee, Luke 2:39a, to their own town of Nazareth, back to Matthew 2:23b, to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, that he will be called a Nazarene, Luke 2:40. The boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. Now Jesus is a young boy, Luke 2:41. Every year, his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. And after those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was with the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Here, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that I must be involved in my father's interests?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. The epilogue. Matthew 20, Jesus nearing the time of his death. Verse 17. The Christmas story, you must remember, is that he was born to die. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day. John 12:23. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. But whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Now, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Isaiah 9, verse 6. What a great encapsulation of all of it. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In Hebrew, one long hyphenated name. Pele, Joaz, El Gabor, Abiad, Sar Shalom. That's what his name is. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." But later Isaiah queries in chapter 53, "Who has believed what he's heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Revelation 5b, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Heavenly Father, who would believe the report? Without your revelation, your arm, your might in Christ Jesus would be hidden to us. But you sent him. You sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh, as truly human and truly divine, to grow, to reveal you to us, and to die, that men might have salvation, that all who trust in you would be forgiven all their trespasses and made new creatures. The miraculous, wondrous, astounding birth is still a spectacle before us. And may our hearts grip it, not with some mere human intellect and assent, but with the faith that is granted by your Spirit to believe and to be saved. We give you praise and thanks and honor for sending your Son, our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. May we keep him ever before us this Christmas, we pray, in his name. Amen.